Welcome to Talking Points. My name is Elaine Rivers, and I am so happy to have Amanda Missy, President and CEO of the Bergen Volunteer Medical Initiative, joining me once again. Welcome to Talking Points, Amanda.
Thank you so much.
Wow, it has been a year or so?
Maybe longer than that. Yeah.
But a lot of exciting things have happened since then.
Yes.
And I can't wait to hear about all of the great things that are happening at Bergen Volunteer Medical Initiative. But before we do that, how are you?
I'm good. I've been very busy, but I am good. I'm great.
So you are the founding president and CEO of Bergen Volunteer Medical Initiative.
Not quite. I just celebrated my 12th anniversary in May.
Congratulations.
I started there when the organization was about 4 years old. So it was still an infant, absolutely, in terms of the lifestyle or the life cycle of a nonprofit.
Well, I'll tell you, you've taken the reins and you have been running ever since, right? Doing great things for our community. So tell our audience, what is Bergen Volunteer Medical Initiative?
So Bergen Volunteer Medical Initiative, we're a nonprofit. We are state licensed, so we have to jump through all the hoops with the Department of Health that hospitals do, basically. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we are a healthcare center that provides free primary care, preventive care, mental health care, all kinds of health care to adults here in Bergen County who are working, not earning very much money, and who do not have health insurance.
Did you say free?
I did say free. Completely, 100% free. We do not charge for anything.
So tell us about the types of services that you provide.
So it's a very wide variety of services. I will tell you that prior to the pandemic, we pretty much provided primary care and women's health, and did some chronic disease management. Since the pandemic, the breadth of our services has increased tenfold. So now we still provide primary care, preventive care. We've got like a big diabetes program. About 40% of our patients have diabetes or prediabetes. We have mental health services. We have a psychiatric nurse practitioner who is there 20 hours a week providing mental health support to people. We have case management services. We have two case managers who connect our patients to outside resources. Food insecurity happens to be the number one. And then what really took off after the pandemic is we have about 15 specialties in-house. So we have all of the care that we provide, most of the care that we provide, is provided by volunteer medical professionals. So we have volunteer gastroenterologists, cardiologists, endocrinologists, podiatrists, like almost every specialty that you can think of, they actually come to BVMI and see our patients. So it's a pretty spectacular place.
That's amazing. And so, you know, going back to the services that you provide, you mentioned the primary care as well as the preventive care. And of course, that would include the health literacy, because I think it's really important that all of us really, that we know what we're dealing with when it comes to our health. And so you're very intentional about providing that level of information. But talk about the women's health initiatives, because about 70% of your patients are women?
Correct. 65 to 70% of our patients are women, and that has been consistent since we opened in 2009. What we find is that our women patients, you know, they're generally between like 30 and 50. That's kind of where the concentration is. So they're childbearing age, so they usually have children. They often have aging parents who live with them. They're often the sole breadwinner in their household, so they have a heavy load to carry. They are taking care of the kids, taking care of the parents, going to work two or three jobs very often. So guess what? Their health is the last thing that they pay attention to. So we provide everybody primary care, but our women's health program, we have just complete well woman care. We do gynecology, We can do several procedures when we get our family planning license that allows us to do that. And then all of those wraparound services, case management, women are the primary utilizers of the case management program and of the mental health program. So we know that if we take care of the women, they'll be able to take care of their families.
So that's fantastic, without a doubt. But let's spend a moment just talking to the men.
Okay.
The men who might be in our listening audience, and talk to them about the need for them to seek medical attention, at the beginning of symptoms, as opposed to waiting until the end.
Correct. Yes. I think one of the reasons that 65% of our patients are women is because even though they put themselves last, they still will go to the doctor. I've been married to the same person for 42 years, and I have to push him out the door to go to the doctor.
Thank you.
We work hard to get men in as patients, and then we do a lot of follow-up with all of our patients, but we follow up with them to make sure that they're coming back for whatever kind of follow-up services they need, that they're coming in for their annual exam. Honestly, men have mental health needs also. It's a much harder sell to get them to see Sandra, our mental health provider. But we really, we provide a lot of support and encouragement to patients. You talked about health literacy. That's huge for us. Many of our patients have low literacy in general, and health literacy is definitely not where we would want it to be. So we spend a lot of time on that also.
That's fantastic. And you provide the educational component as well as your services in multiple languages?
We do. We have interpreters on site most of the time for Spanish speakers. We have a language line that we use. If there is a language that nobody in the clinic happens to know how to speak, but mm-hmm. Yes, we do provide it. We provide written materials in Spanish and Korean, so we want to make it as easy as possible for them to know what they need to know and also to understand what's going on with them.
You mentioned that after COVID, the breadth of your services certainly has expanded. Talk a little bit more about the behavioral health, the mental health aspect, because, of course, after COVID, we're seeing so much of that area needing much more attention.
Yes. COVID broke a lot of people. It really did. Since we opened, we have had volunteer mental health professionals, social workers or, psychiatric APNs or whatever, who volunteered with us. Really, none of them spoke Spanish. Most of our patients are native Spanish speakers, so they do better communicating in Spanish. And the real game changer for us is when we hired Sandra Alvarado, who is a Latina. She speaks Spanish, obviously, so culturally and linguistically, patients understand her, and it's just really been a game changer. The other thing is that she's there 20 hours a week, and we've had a number of instances where someone has come in to see us. We do depression and anxiety screenings. We literally have walked someone, patients down the hall to see Sandra. So it's been a real game changer for us to have her on site. Yeah.
And so what happens, looking at the broad range of services that you provide, what happens when you have someone that you can only treat so far? Do you refer out?
We do. And actually, women's health is one of the primary places that we do that. We do not do obstetrics care at all. So if a woman becomes pregnant, what we do is we refer her out to usually to a federally qualified health center. who can take care of her while she's pregnant. Once she has the baby, she can come back to us. So, and we do that with a lot of things. If somebody needs like really ongoing mental health support, we're not able to provide that. So we will refer them to a community mental health agency. We also work with all five hospitals in the county. So we refer out for a number of things, diagnostics. We can't do, you know, major surgery, obviously. So we do work with referral partners to have outside things done.
That's fantastic. And of course, you provide holistic care, so the case management part of this is pretty huge as well. Food insecurity being perhaps the top contender there.
Yes.
But what about some of the other needs of your patients? How do you handle that?
So I will tell you that we're in the midst of doing a new strategic plan right now. And the last one we did was in 2018, I believe. And there was literally an aha moment in there where we said, oh my gosh, we have to start addressing what's called social determinants of health. And that, if you don't know this, you may know this, about 20% of your health is actually based on being able to go to the doctor. The other 80% is dependent on the zip code that you live in, and like all these outside factors. Do you have a safe place to sleep? Is there domestic violence? Do you have enough food to eat? Do you have heat? That kind of stuff. So the aha moment led to us hiring a case manager. We hired her 3 weeks before the pandemic hit, and let me tell you, she got busy very, very quickly. Our patients, food security is the number one issue. Rent and utility assistance, legal services, finding childcare. I'm very proud to say that Rosa, our case manager, is big on education, which you probably are glad to hear also. Mm-hmm. So she has a big focus on helping our patients actually work towards getting better employment. And she also really focuses on getting their children into some kind of college or training program. So you know, everything that the case manager does, there's this ripple effect. And it really, you know, I think a lot of what we do is we help patients to become more self-sufficient and more sustainable, connected to the community, mm-hmm. So they can live a good life. We all deserve to live a good life.
Absolutely. That's pretty phenomenal. Let's stay with the case management piece for just another second, because I believe in the holistic approach, even to education. And of course, I work here at Fairleigh Dickinson University, and I interact with students on a regular basis, yep. And have done so for almost 20 years. So, you know, this is near and dear to my heart. I would imagine that the success of the case manager is really dependent on partnerships.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that piece?
Yes, absolutely. It is entirely dependent on partnerships, actually. Right now, Rosa works with about 100 plus community organizations.
Wow.
This is a network that she has built up over the past 6 years, I guess. She came to us from another social service agency, so she already had connections. We cross-refer. There's a lot of checking in to make sure that, you know, Jane went to get the food she was supposed to get. So, yes, Rosa has built up a very robust partnership, circle of partners, and we are entirely dependent on that. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know something, having that village,
yes,
helps it all work,
yes,
right?
It does.
Because when it becomes dependent on one person or one organization,
yeah,
that's when
does
it becomes
not work.
Yeah,
not
overwhelming,
yep.
And it doesn't work.
Yep.
Speaking of one organization, your tagline on your website says, one organization, two healthcare centers.
Yes.
Exciting.
Yes.
Tell us about this evolution.
Okay. Well, our first day of services at our new clinic in Garfield, and it is called the BVMI Russell Berry Healthcare Center. It's located at 529 Midland Avenue, and we were talking about partnerships before. This is completely based on partnerships. It's part of Unity Health Partnership. So Greater Bergen Community Action is part of that. They are a 50-year-old community action program that helps lift people out of poverty. So they will be providing programs there. Unity Pantry is there. It's part of Community Food Bank. It is a consumer choice pantry, so people actually go in and shop there. We will be providing healthcare, obviously, and all our wraparound services, including vision care, which is new for us. And then we're still looking for a few more partners. I think one will be focused on mental health, and I'm not sure what the other one will be. So those will come as the as Unity Health kind of
as a demand
builds out, correct,
increases. So this new location in Garfield, was that strategic, or was it that the property became available? how did this all transpire?
So we have partnered with Greater Bergen Community Action actually since we opened in 2009. Our first clinic, they were our landlords. So in 2018, I believe, they are the designated redevelopment organization for Garfield. And they did a survey in Garfield of Garfield residents and said, what is it that you're looking for as we come in and look at redeveloping some of the properties here? And people said, we need wellness, we need health. So because Greater Bergen knows us, they came to us and said, would you like to be part of this concept? At that point, we didn't know what the name of it was, and open another clinic. And we said, let us think about it. Sure. So so this is the 8-year clinic. It's taken a really long time to get here. I mentioned that we are state licensed. It's taken almost a year to get our license from the state. But it is a beautiful clinic. It's 6 exam rooms. We've got a laboratory. We have space for our case manager. In fact, in January, we took a little different route this time. We hired a community health worker. So she has been out recruiting patients for the last several months, and now she will continue to do outreach, but she's also going to shift into case management mode. So she will be working with patients to connect them to outside resources.
And this new center is called the Russell Berry Foundation Healthcare Center?
Actually, it's the Russell Berry Healthcare Center,
okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And the Russell Berry Foundation is a longtime funder. And they are investing in BVMI's future, and gave us a very nice grant for sustainability, and we named the center after them.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So the word is out, and you are looking forward to serving this new community.
We are.
What have you sensed any reactions so far? Any talk? Have you heard any comments or chatter about BVMI in Garfield?
So it's interesting. First of all, we had our ribbon cutting a year ago, actually a little more than a year ago. So they know we're coming. They wondered where we've been. But Maria, our community health worker, has been out literally pounding the pavement, talking to faith communities, talking to small businesses, talking to schools and other nonprofits. And we actually had to equip her with a letter from me that said, we are a legitimate organization, because people could not believe, they thought it was a scam, could not believe that there was this organization inviting people in so they could get free healthcare. So the word on the street is that they're excited about us coming. Southern Bergen County is historically very underserved medically. There's not a lot of doctors. A lot of people go to Passaic County for their healthcare, which is right across the river, but this will be in their backyard. So we will certainly serve Garfield, but there's all those surrounding towns, Elmwood Park, Wallington, Lodi,
very
Hasbrook
diverse
Heights.
Community.
Yes, very, very diverse community. So so I guess unofficially I've heard that they're excited we're coming in. Yes.
Great. So audience, you are listening to Talking Points. I'm Elaine Rivers with guest Amanda Missy, who is the president and CEO of Bergen Volunteer Medical Initiative, and we're talking about one organization, two locations. So exciting to hear about the new Garfield location. But what about the Hackensack location that's called the Lynn Diamond?
Lynn Diamond Healthcare Center, correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's in Hackensack. We've actually been there since 2017.
Mm-hmm. Give us the location.
75 Essex Street. And we provide, again, a full spectrum of services there, from the primary care all the way to case management. We've got a nutritionist. We have a prevent diabetes program. We have a lot of programming there. So, yeah.
Diabetes is huge.
Diabetes is really huge. It really, really is. And it's, you know, again, it really is just teaching people how to eat and maybe how to adjust what's on their plate a little bit, a few fewer carbs, a little bit more protein, you know, cut out the sugar, that kind of stuff. And a lot of times it's just because they don't know. The Prevent Diabetes Program actually helps people learn about food. It's a 9-month program, so it's quite intensive. And when you're working with people who have two or three jobs, for them it's a huge commitment.
Yeah.
But it teaches them how to eat. It talks about stress management.
Is this available online?
We do it. We switched to Zoom during the pandemic and found that it worked better. So we have a personal trainer that works 26 weeks of instruction online. We have a chef that does virtual cooking lessons. We provide them with success tools like a scale, like a fitness tracker, some binders and stuff to, you know, keep track of things. So it's got some bells and whistles, which I love. They do kayaking. They take a kayaking trip. They go visit a farm, a working farm, to find out where their vegetables come from. They go on supermarket tours. So it's really teaching them about how to eat healthfully. There's a whole big thing on stress management, because that, you know, the first thing you go to is those Oreo cookies if you're stressing out.
Yeah.
So
or
the potato chips. Yeah, it depends on whether you're sweet or salty. The goal is to get them to drop 5 to 7% of their weight, to exercise 150 minutes a week, and to get their A1C levels down to regular range, so they're not pre-diabetic anymore. And it's a super successful program. Yeah.
Now, you're catering to working adults.
Correct.
But what about their families?
Well, something like the PDP program, the Prevent Diabetes Program, actually has a wonderful trickle-down effect, because Chef Xenia is teaching them how to cook their favorite foods, but more healthfully. So what do you think? They're cooking that for their families.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They're going out on a walk in the park. They take their children with them. So they're modeling behavior for their kids. If their parents are living with them, their parents are eating the same good food. So actually, most of what we do probably trickles out into the family, just because mom or dad or both of them are taking care of themselves. And that's also modeling really good behavior for the kids.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that your plan is to replicate these services.
Correct.
And programming at the Garfield location.
Yes, yes.
As well.
We will. Actually, everything that we do in Hackensack, we will also do in Garfield. And the Vision Care Center is new and is exclusive to Garfield, but people from Hackensack can come to the Vision Care Center also.
Okay. So tell us about the Vision Care Center. What does that entail?
Well, right after the pandemic, there was an optometrist that closed down his practice, and he said, "Do you want my equipment?" It's like the whole office full of equipment. And we're like, "Well, we don't do vision care, but maybe." Because at this point, we were talking about Garfield. So it was in storage for about 5 years. One of the hardest things for us to get is eye exams for diabetic patients, because, you know, diabetes can lead to blindness. So we want to have retina exams for diabetic patients. Very hard to get, as medicine has become corporate. It's no longer calling Dr. Smith and saying, can you see a patient? It's much more complicated. So for us to be able to provide certainly diabetic eye checks, but also write prescriptions for glasses. You know, somebody has something in their eye, or they have dry eyes or whatever. Vision is something that is so precious, especially if you lose it. So we wanted to, we thought that that would be a great addition to the services that we provide. The next thing we would want to do would be dental, but that is a much more expensive proposition. So, and there are places that provide dental.
Yeah, I was just about to say dental care, that would be the next in line, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. Yeah.
That is wonderful. So, Amanda, you're where you are today based on your diligence and persistence and your hard work and your ability to network and really create great relationships with partners that are, you know, on board with you. And it seems like on board for the long haul. I attended one of your functions that was just fabulous. I just had such a great time and had a chance to talk with several of those supporters. What do you envision for the next 5 years? Let's keep it within a shorter time frame.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. So first of all, right now Garfield will only be open 2 days a week. So in the next 5 years, our goal is to get it open 5 days a week. Our fundraising has to catch up to that goal or dream. One thing that we haven't talked about is the fact that BVMI is 100% philanthropically funded. So we don't take payment from patients. We don't work with insurance companies. So we are really relying on the generosity of donors and also of our volunteers. We have almost 200 volunteers.
Wow.
Last year, the volunteers provided about $707,000 worth of services to us. So that's a huge commitment and a huge infusion for BVMI. So I think that the next 5 years is going to be spent getting Garfield up to 5 days a week and really just making BVMI sustainable for the long haul so that we can continue to provide service to patients. Right now, we are providing care for 1,038 patients. Like, who knows exactly what that number is, but it's 1,038. And our goal would be to get that up to about 2,500 between the two clinics.
5 days, I guess my next question is, why not 7 days?
Well, it's 7 days, maybe 6 days, actually. Uh-huh. We can add evenings without too much trouble. We can add a Saturday for sure. Some of it comes down to staffing. Volunteers, I don't know who's going to be willing to volunteer on weekends. And we are in a very competitive healthcare environment. So in terms of hiring people, it's almost cost prohibitive to be able to do that.
Have you really tapped into the local institutions of higher education?
Yes,
graduate student support.
Let me tell you about that. So part of the Berry Grant is to let us establish a new position. It is the Director of Clinical Site Education. It will be a full-time, it's a physician that will fill the role, and we actually have already found her. So she'll be, part of her time will be medical director, part of her time will be seeing patients, about half of her time will be spent working with local academic institutions and residency programs to get students into BVMI. So, yes.
Wow, yeah. That is
exciting. That's exciting.
So I'm going to be looking forward
yes,
to
you
that
are.
Phone
you will
call,
hear from
that
me.
Email to make yeah. that connection yeah. because we have students in the pipeline who are just looking for opportunities
yes.
To get that experience.
That's great.
And so in our final seconds
yes.
here, how do we get in contact with BVMI?
Okay, so our web address is bvmi.org. You can call 201-342-2478. That's our main number. Or you can stop by 75 Essex Street and visit us.
Okay. And the Garfield?
Garfield is 529 Midland Avenue. I don't know our new phone number,
it's
but we can transfer. There you go.
351-380-4800.
Correct. Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad you had that. I'm glad you had that.
So, Amanda Missy, President and CEO of the Bergen Volunteer Medical Initiative. It has just been fantastic. And yes, I will have to have you join me once again on Talking Points.
Correct. Thank you. Thank you very much.